Mick and MJ in the morning, brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
Welcome to the Mick and MJ podcast. This episode, we're chatting to Dr. Chris Brown.
We've been joined live in the studio by friend of the show. He's running around as we speak. It's a race against time. It's as fast as I've ever seen him move.
Can't stay away.
Tell him there's animals to be put down. He'll be here in half a minute.
Here he comes. Oh, my God.
You've changed.
Okay, you know what I'll tell you he's doing? He's out the front talking to Natasha Belling, who won't let him leave.
I've been asking about the sharks. I've just been getting a full breakdown on the shark attacks.
Yeah, unbelievable. We're doing a radio program and you've got our guest and you're interviewing him privately.
Yes.
As opposed to having him in on the program. Well, he's not here, so it's a bit of a shame.
Is he caught in the lift? Does someone check the lift? He might be caught in that.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. He wears makeup before he comes in for radio. So I was quickly chatting with him about the shark attacks and then he said, Tash, I love you, but I need to go into makeup.
We are on camera, I suppose.
Well, there's loads to ask him. I want to ask him about the shark attack, which occurred yesterday, rescued by a vet, not him. I'll tell you what we'll do.
Oh, wow. Hello, Dr. Chris. Look at him sworn in.
Good morning. Don't let the red eyes... You've been on the Hong Kongs, haven't you?
Thanks for squeezing us in. We really appreciate it. Doc, I know you've got a busy schedule. Now, I've got a few things to ask you, by the way, and we'll get into that in just a second. But can we begin by talking about the shark attack yesterday in the harbour?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just before we open it up for discussion, how rare is this? Is this dangerous? Do you swim in the harbour? Give us the spreadsheet.
Look, it's a combination of factors. I'm not a regular harbour swimmer. It may surprise you. I have my morning swims elsewhere, as you're aware.
Penrith Beach. I know, it's Penrith Beach.
Go on, you brownie.
You can't beat it. the thing about the current situation is there's a lot of warm water around. If you go for a swim, the water is very warm. So that brings a lot of the bait fish in, brings all fish closer to the shore rather than sitting out in the currents deeper out. And so what that's doing is it's also bringing a lot of the bigger fish that eat those fish in. And so the harbour is full of bull sharks as well. So
when you say full, I hear this from, I'm new to the state, of course, new to the city, but a lot of people go, hey, don't go swimming. It's kind of well known that the bull shark and many other species, I hear, is it 30 different species of shark?
Yeah. There's a lot, yeah. Yeah, and they do feed in the evenings and early mornings and typically around jetties where a lot of the other fish tend to hang. Yeah. So They're the danger spots. A lot of people would have swum in the harbour, usually after a few drinks on a Friday night. The sharks would get a shock.
No names mentioned.
Sharks would get a shock if they had a bite into a few of those, I'm sure.
They'd be drunk in one bite.
It'd be like a Bloody Mary.
But the challenge with bull sharks is that they've got very, very small eyes. If you ever see a bull shark up close, I don't recommend it, but they have incredibly small eyes, so they do this thing which is like a bump and bite. It's like being in a nightclub dance floor where you can't see anything, so you just bump into things, hoping for the best.
Okay,
and then bite.
And that is essentially what they do.
That's my MO on a Tinder date. The old bump and bite. Now, luckily, this woman was saved beautifully by a vet who was first on the scene. Here's what she had to say about her heroics.
I'm in no way heroic. I just did my job and I just did what I was trained to do. And everyone else just rendered whatever assistance they could.
Fat lot of good you were. Where would it kill you to do something for someone else once in your life?
I had a feeling it might end up here. What a performance by this vet. Great job. Finally a vet on hand when you need one, right?
Yes,
you
know? Absolutely. Give her her own show.
She has broken a Hippocratic oath, though, I'm going to point out.
Oh.
She should have got her shark first. her responsibility was the shark, not the person.
Oh, wow.
Look, let me get this straight. You've just had a crack at the vet who saved a shark attack victim. There's your headline, everyone. Yeah. Bondi vet slams
vet
a compatriot who saves woman's life. You are unbelievable.
She's a hero. She's done a great job.
Oh, don't backpedal now.
As long as she's gone and checked the shark after, she's everything's okay.
Where were you at the time? Well, actually, I'll tell you where you weren't. Bondi. Even though you're called the Bondi vet, you don't live there, were you? You don't do harbour stuff, do you?
I was overseas, and
just get back.
I've just got back, and I do have some stories to report from where I've been.
Wow.
I cannot wait. We'll get those next. And I'm sorry to have to hoe into you like that, because you know I really like you and I generally don't.
No. We'd never bag you. I was excited.
We would never do that.
I was excited a vet did something amazing, but also a little dreading speaking to you because I knew you'd have thoughts on that performance.
We're generally supportive, you know.
No, that is not true. Can I step in here? Dr. Chris Brown, they were rubbishing you yesterday. I'm defending this wonderful guest. This is what they had to say about you yesterday.
He would never have done anything as brave as that in his life. He would have swum the other way.
Yeah, he was. I know Chris Brown. He would have crapped himself.
He would have got out of there, quick sticks.
They would have called someone else. Quick, someone's in helps.
Put his hand up.
Wow.
You've taken that out of context, Kat. Yes. When we come back, we're going to catch up on all the latest with Dr. Chris Brown. You're away. Where did you go?
I was. I decided to go to Japan.
Nice. A bit of whale hunting. Yeah, because I know you love that stuff.
I do.
You love to. I rarely see you without a harpoon.
That's true. That was a conversation.
It was an off-air conversation.
Yeah. What were you doing over there? Were you holidaying, working?
It was a little bit of both. You know, checking out the pet scene, wildlife scene.
What are the big pets in Japan?
A lot of dogs. Lots and lots of dogs.
Okay. Do they have a favourite type of dog?
Small.
Yes.
In a handbag is the favourite. Kind. Yeah. A lot of those.
Paris Hilton.
They've got chinchillas. I mean, they've got all the cafes, right? With a cat cafe. Now it's like a chinchilla, or it's a capybara. Was a capybara cafe over there?
Wow.
It's a little crazy. But look, there's not a Great Dane cafe, and there's not many Great Danes, actually.
They'd run the show over there, Great Danes.
They would leave an impact on the Tokyo street, I reckon, when they decide to have a squat.
Yeah, sure.
They would clear a subway, I reckon.
They would indeed.
But it may not surprise you to realise that I do tend to stand out a little bit on the on the streets of Tokyo.
Yes, indeed.
At 6'5", blonde hair, and on the subway especially. But I don't know if you know, in Japan and in Tokyo, you can buy drinks anywhere, like buy beers absolutely anywhere. There are vending machines on the streets. In the subway, you can just be queuing for a train and just buy a beer. I got involved in this and bought a can of, I think it was an Asahi and you know, nice Japanese beer, and had it in my bag, just in my sort of bag over my shoulder, and got onto the subway. And as you get into the subway, everyone sort of crams in and pushes you in, and I'm sort of towering over everyone, okay. And then as we're going along the subway, I start to feel this sort of cold trickle down my leg. I realized very quickly that the beer that I'd bought had exploded in my bag.
And I
now have a rapidly growing wet patch across my groin, running from my bag to my groin to my leg, and a suspicious... highly suspicious amber fluid dripping from my leg across a crowded train carriage.
Yeah.
If I couldn't stand out anymore, I found a way. And Japanese people are very polite. They're lovely.
Oh, they are.
Lovely.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Did not stop the endless gazes running, connecting the dots from the trickle along the carriage back up my leg to my very wet
wow
body.
Well, I hope you were filming that for a segment on your show. By the way, that's how I leave the station every day, on a train with a wet patch, talking to myself.
If you want to clear some space, it is a great way to do it. Let me tell you.
I love it. Before you go, I want to ask you quickly, there's a huge furore in this state at the moment about pets on the beach. Mm. What are your thoughts? Should it be allowed? Should it be a separate pet beach? Pets, who could be upset by having a dog running around on a beach, catching a frisbee or chasing a tennis ball?
Exactly.
I don't understand. Why would people be upset?
There is no joy like a dog on a beach.
No.
Yes.
It is dog schoolies every single morning when they're there.
They're off their heads.
They are running around. They are humping each other. They are sniffing each other. And the high tide.
It's like the locals on Penrith Beach.
we encourage that out here.
Just like Penrith Beach, the high tide mark is a thing of beauty. On any beach, it concentrates all the smells of the ocean. Their sense of smell is so good. They're smelling dolphin poo. They're smelling whale poo.
Seagulls.
It's just all there.
Doesn't get any better.
Sure, if people don't pick up and they just decide to do the sand surprise and just put a little lump of sand over the poo and you walk through and, you know. But that's exciting.
That is exciting.
Element.
It's like a landmine,
isn't it?
It is.
You never know what
you're going to
get.
That's it. Thank you for coming in today. A pleasure to have you back on deck. Thanks, anything to plug? Any appearances?
Look, you'll get the sick of the sight of me on Channel 7 over the next
few
months.
We're loving you on Channel 7, by the way.
Cannot wait.
It's great stuff. So keep it up.
Dream home's not too far away, so you'll enjoy that.
Beautiful, mate.
Brownie.
Catch
Thanks,
up guys.
Soon. And we've been joined live in the studio by friend of the show, Dr. Chris Brown.
Who
joins us this morning on the eve of recording the brand new series of Channel 7 of Dancing with the Stars. Once again, I've been snubbed.
Yeah.
I can't believe. Did my name come up at the meeting?
Look, it's mentioned. It's mentioned.
Yeah. It's mentioned.
There's two boards. There's two boards, those that should and those that shouldn't dance. And
if you ever want someone to do the nut bush, you know I'm your man.
Barn dance.
Right. I think you're the only person who's ever taken the nut bush literally as a dance form, which is...
What about the Sharpie dance? The Sharpie dance? Could I do the Sharpie dance? That was a good one. Who's in the lineup? Who are you tipping? Is there Lisa McEwen? Wow, what a fine actor.
Yeah.
She'll be able to do it. She'll be a triple threat. Julie Goodwin, the chef.
Mm.
She's on board.
Shane Crawford.
And, of course, Ben Cousins. I just say to the AFL players involved in this, just go and have a look at Gavin Wanganeen.
Yes. And Gavin
did not last that long on Dancing with the Stars, and I use the term dancing liberally. So what can we expect? What have you got for us?
Look, sequins is probably – there's no spoiler alert in the fact you're going to see a lot of sequins.
Yes.
We shot the promo the other day, and I came home and was in the shower and discovered a rapidly spreading rash of sequins that just was stuck to my legs, to my arms. Cannot go to a Dancing with the Stars shoot and not come home just with a sneaky sequin. I looked at the colour and I actually caught it from Ben Cousins. Who is resplendent in more lycra and sequins than he's really, you know, it may take him back to his nightclub days.
I was in Perth with him when he first burst on the scene. I was playing for the Western Reds. He was an up and coming player for the Eagles. And geez, I tell you what, he could dance after. Yes. I saw him dance a lot in the nightclubs.
Yes.
He can move.
Oh yeah,
he can cut a rug. Well, it's good. It's a good excuse for you, Doc, because if I come home covered in glitter and sequins, all I get is, where the hell have you been?
You're in trouble.
So you reckon I've got a good window, a couple of weeks?
I reckon you can take advantage of this.
I went and had some dance, not lessons.
Did you?
Well, I want to appreciate the craft, Mickey.
Yes.
This is an art form. So I went and had 2 hours twirling, you know, getting around the dance floor, learning my learning my Latin, learning my ballroom.
Where's the footage of that? Where's footage of that? We want to see that.
It was also a bit of a confidence building exercise. The last time I was on a dance floor, and I think this may be why I've been recruited to host is.
Yes.
Last time I was on dance floor in an official capacity, I actually had the rare distinction of breaking my arm. I broke my arm on a dance floor when I was at uni, trying to do the worm at pace and at altitude. I thought, you know what, I'm not the most flexible, but if I hit this with enough pace and altitude, physics and gravity will be my friend, and I'll actually sort of bounce my way through a worm. And broke my radius and ulna.
Oh my goodness.
That's a big night out.
I x-rayed it at the vet school the next morning and was quickly whisked away to human emergency to have it checked out. And I was in a sling for 6 weeks.
Which made testing a little
difficult.
Yes, exactly.
If someone can pop a worm into their passe doble, they could take the chockies. Who's the nasty judges, by the way? There's a couple of them now, isn't there? McKinney.
Helen Reddy. Helen Reddy? Helen.
What, the ex-singer?
No. Helen's back. who do we have? We have, look, I mean, I probably should know. I'll see them tomorrow.
Is Paul Mercurio?
They're all there, guys. I mean,
yeah, Todd McKinney, is he still in?
Look, Todd is not back this year. So he's taking a year off. I think he feels threatened by my moves and what I'm bringing to the table.
Okay. So sounds like there's a story there. Sounds like someone's been given the arse.
Onset tension.
And we're still trying to clear up who is and who isn't a judge.
Yeah, on the
new series of Dancing with the Stars, Chris, I think we can safely rule out Helen Reddy.
We can.
Why?
It's a line through her because we just discovered she died in 2020. Helen Ritchie is the dance.
Oh, Helen Ritchie, of course.
You're after.
Todd McKinney, no. Who else was in?
Daryl Summers.
No to Daryl as well. He is still alive. Craig Revel Horwood is another dance.
Oh, he's good. I like him.
He's the nasty pasty, isn't he?
He is. Mark Wilson. Mark Wilson and Shana Burgess, the delightful Shana Burgess.
Yeah, Shana.
We've got the full compliment.
All have a pulse and all will be present on the panel.
AMG, have you ever been asked to do Dancing with the Stars?
No.
Well.
No. I've been asked to do other things, but not Dancing with the Stars, no.
Which ones have you been asked to do?
The Celebrity Get Me Out of Here.
Oh, interesting.
You'd be good on that.
Great.
And the other one was The Survivor, when that was the Survivor one. I remember with the Survivor one, I was just going through my advanced hair studio thing for a while, and I used to put like powder in my hair to make it look thicker. So I couldn't. I said no to it in the end because I didn't want people to see the bald patch on the top of my head.
I didn't think your hair would survive.
Obviously.
Imagine pop some seaweed on it.
Imagine that aerosol can near the open fire. Just the whole camp would go up.
Oh, we'd all watch that. Still no one would stir you about it, would they?
No.
Are you laughing at me? No, MG.
No.
Hey, we need to crack open the animal kingdom. Anti-aging pills for dogs. This is obviously because of one of the saddest things in the world is the age a dog expires, because you love this dog, you look after this dog, and then, you know, around about the 12 to 14 year mark, it starts to get dodgy. Is this a thing, or is it just wishful thinking from pet owners?
I'll tell you what it is a thing, is the fact that I will not have you present in a euthanasia, Mickey, when you talk about the dog expiring.
Yes.
It has come for his time. He's reached his expiry date.
Oh, it's so sad.
He must leave us now. It is a thing, and exactly what you say, that they live very short lives. You know, the whole one dog year equals seven human years.
Yep,
you know? And for some big dogs, you know, they only live to, say, seven or eight, like Great Danes, for example. So... this is all about sort of, I guess, managing their metabolism and trying to sort of keep them young and energetic. And the hope is it buys them an extra year. through.
Oh, wow.
Through having.
Well, that's a lot of medication for a dog to swallow for a year. Will it affect its quality of life? Is it going to be like a more docile? Is it going to just be sitting around a house?
No, it'd be. I think the idea is that it gives it more energy and gives it more vitality and get up and go. I mean, it won't be sort of back humping legs like it did in its youthful days. But
like the dog in Something About Mary.
Yeah. I got to say,
does that mean?
Oh, the dog in Something About Mary accidentally took a line of cocaine and just jumped out of windows and jumped on top of people's legs and shagged.
I don't think that's the medication they're talking about somehow. maybe not. You know what this means, I reckon? I'm going to get into the market of those, you know, the wheels, the back leg wheels.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's going to be more for that. I don't get them like a four-wheel drive set up. Maybe monster track tires.
maybe an electric hybrid as well, just to give them a bit of extra speed.
You see a dog walking down the road with them.
they're sneaking up on you like a Tesla. that would be good. I want to ask about this donkey. Sick donkey was saved by drinking 24 litres of cola. Now, as a vet, is that something you would prescribe? What's going on here?
So the donkey, 15-year-old donkey called Joey, heartbroken due to the loss of its mother. It was very close. Donkeys are very emotional animals. They're quite
gorgeous.
Quite amazing. And when animals or horses, donkeys get very emotional and stressed, their stomach stops contracting, and that can be very dangerous. So this vet has pumped in 24 litres of cola to essentially flush this donkey through and get everything moving again, which is an interesting approach. I'd probably say the vet went from Coke Zero to Hero. But the medical basis to this is actually quite sound. That amount of caffeine and sugar and acid in that actually will, it's like drain cleaner. It'll actually flush everything through. I have done something similar. So on a cow that had whose stomach wasn't contracting as well.
Yes.
I actually gave it, and this is quite a common thing to do, I gave it 20 shots of coffee in 10 litres of water.
What?
And put that through a stomach tube, through its nose. So the cow was lying down, its stomach wasn't moving. It got up. Let me tell you, it got up.
Let it rip.
Well, you know how in an office toilet, you know, after the coffee break, it's a busy place to be. Mm. It was a busy place to be around this cow soon after.
A lot of pegs on noses, I would say.
Oh, boy. So
it does most certainly does work. The extra caffeine will really get things going.
All right, and just before we go, the world of equestrian has been rocked this week by a man in a mankini being disqualified for riding a horse in an event. Is that bad for the horse? Should he have been put down, or did the horse? Who wants to go after that?
Do you know the horse's vision? They can see, you know, about 270 degrees. So that horse would have been able to see everything moving, and everything sneaking out from within that mankini. And trust me, things would have been moving. If you're in a high trot, it's very hard to keep things contained.
Someone's knocking on my back.
Fortunately, he wasn't rising to the trot. That's all I'll say. Thank you, Dr. Chris Brown. Good luck in all your endeavours at Channel 7. Always a pleasure when you swing by. Thanks, anything else to report? We're good?
Everything's good. Everything's good. Dream home coming very soon.
Yes, we love it.
Almost done. So,
done,
see you soon.
Good on you, mate. And we've been joined live in the studio by friend of the show and the newly minted host of Dancing with the Stars, replacing one of the all-time legends of Australian TV, the new Daryl Summers, I'm calling him.
It's big.
There he is. How are you, mate?
Good morning.
Good to see you, Chris.
Wow, look.
How's it all going on set? Did you have much apologising to do after your last appearance?
I don't know what you're talking about. I thought it was a seamless introduction. I walked in with such a warm, warm hand from everyone who was so happy to see me. The judges, Craig, Shana, Mark, and Helen.
Let's play what happened on this program last time you appeared. Who's the nasty judges, by the way? There's a couple of them now, isn't there?
Helen,
McKinney.
Helen Reddy.
I am woman, hear me roar.
That would be quite a feat if you did get Helen Reddy back.
Well, she's not much of a mover. not much of a mover and shaker on the dance floor anymore. But in a day, Helen Reddy was dynamite.
She was.
I nearly sent Helen Ritchie the same way after she saw some of my dancing. But she... Look, she was great. Look, at 79, she's and a former ballroom dancing world champion. She's not a. I wouldn't say she's a regular listener of Triple M in Sydney, which may surprise you.
79, her best dancing days are behind her. What's she doing? Like she couldn't even dance around her own handbag at the moment, could she? I mean, what could she bust out?
She's a pretty hip hop happening 79 year old.
If you dipped her, you'd hear cracking in about 8 places.
like dancing. Her and Montgomery Burns should dance together.
A little pile of kindling left on the dance floor. That's what's happening. Anyway, good luck to Helen Keller. Is it Helen Keller?
Helen Ritchie.
Is that Kate's mum?
Look, it might be. It might be Kate's mum.
Did you hear about Tash during our... she turned up as Tina Turner and refused to dance the Nutbush. Our listener party. It was an
Australian. That is a disgrace. Speaking of which, I'm lucky. Next time I come in, can we have some security at the lifts next time I come in here?
Oh, what'd she do?
I didn't make the studio before I was whisked away to a darkened room lit by nothing apart from a candle, which was brilliant at illuminating Tash Belling's tinfoil hat, because despite giving the impression of a credible journalist, no one is more caught up in conspiracy theories than Natasha Belling. I just got a dressing down over the 19 different possibilities around what has happened.
To the royals.
To the royals. And the doctored photo, it is unbelievable.
Oh, she's onto it.
She's lost her mind. Yep, we're going to get you a taser. That's what we're going to get you. And if she approaches you, just let rip.
Most of her theories somehow come back to pegging. Pecking gone wrong.
Yes,
and we're not talking about the wet clothes on the clothesline. Just quietly, I was.
Wow,
I'm lucky to be here
today. He's here to congratulate MG on becoming a granddad for the first time. Let's talk Animal Kingdom. Who are the best parents? Who does the best parenting from the Animal Kingdom? Do you reckon
they're all pretty good? To be honest,
they are pretty good.
You know, that admittedly, even some dogs don't have a litter as large as MG's. So that does make it tricky to compare.
MG's got a bit of a pride, doesn't he? That's where the whole family stick together, and you'll have different daughters, and they'll have cubs, and then everyone basically hangs together. And then there's a big fatty with a mane. Mm. Up the top, I mean, the pecking order.
Yeah, you say pride, I say cult. But it's a similar.
We asked our listeners this morning what I should be called as a pop or a granddad. Maybe Mufasa. Mufasa.
So who in the Animal Kingdom does a great job?
I always look at penguins and think that's a pretty. They sacrifice a lot. The long cold Antarctic winter. With their little baby sort of resting on their feet off the cold of the snow for hours and hours and end, you know, while they send the wife out to fish.
Yep.
Get some fish.
In the cold Antarctic borders for 12 hours.
Up, happy feet. They get their feet going and do a bit of a dance, a bit of tap dance.
They do. So I think penguins are pretty remarkable.
Mm. Anyone who has an external pregnancy, like an egg, though, they're always up to no good, aren't they? Yeah. So a lot of the women are trying to get other women to mind their kids. That's true, isn't it? They'll wait till the neighbour goes out and they'll go in and push the egg into their little nest and go, suckers.
Going to play bingo.
Or if they don't have one themselves, they'll just steal one. You know, it's a long way back from the water, back to the nest, and they'll just coerce one across to them.
There's not enough of that going on in the real world, I reckon. Baby stealing. Hey, we saw some extraordinary scenes at a zoo where two zookeepers walked in and saw a silverback and realised he was still there, and there was nothing between them and the silverback. I put it to you, that is going to get your attention quickly if you're a zookeeper.
Yeah, that is kind of worst case scenario stuff. The silverback is arguably one of the strongest animals in the world. Just he's all muscle. And incredibly territorial. So you combine the muscle with the territorial behaviour. You've got a problem situation. So being stuck in the enclosure. I think there was a male and a female keeper there. I think they're probably both worried for very different reasons.
Yes.
The male.
Don't spray aftershave on him. That's all.
Yeah. So I remember one time I was in my dad's a vet and we were in an endangered species zoo in Jersey, and we got a behind the scenes tour in the silverback enclosure, not quite as behind the scenes as those zookeepers were, but I'm surprised he didn't do this. That particular day, that gorilla, he gave us a welcome by he pooed into his hand and threw it at me.
Oh,
what a great greeting!
I just copped a spray of gorilla feces, which was lovely, but they.
I often do that when I've got guests around. Hey, guys, come in.
Hey,
whop.
Hey, Steve, welcome.
Welcome aboard. Cop that.
Hey, Marsha, bang.
It's an inclusive environment, is it? You like to, if you're smelling a certain way, it's nice for all your guests
exactly
to,
right.
to wear a little
it's
bit
of a term of endearment, yeah.
But you can see in that vision that the keeper's trying to edge the door closed and... It's a hell of a time to realise you haven't oiled up the joints and
yeah, that's right. But anyone got a can of WD-40? Quickly.
Stat.
Quickly. But you'd see the funny side if you're a zookeeper. Now, one of the toughest animals of the animal kingdom, there's no doubt. But a survey of Americans says that 8% of Americans think they could beat a lion in a fist fight. And a grizzly bear. Now, can you debunk this or what can you add to this conversation?
That is 1 in 12
yep.
genuinely believe that an animal with a paw bigger than our head and a head bigger than our body often is capable of... You're going to beat that in a fist fight?
Yeah.
It is remarkable. I think a lot of Americans, I think every single one of those people surveyed wouldn't be able to beat the paddle pop lion in a fist fight.
That's Mick said. Mick said that yesterday.
I think you could probably, ask Siegfried or Roy or their opinions.
Give you a reference, yes.
Otherwise, if you're going to have a fist fight with an animal doc, and I know you're a pacifist in this department, but who would you choose?
Funnily enough, it's not a thought I've had before.
Welcome to our world.
It'll be a great new series for you, though.
Yeah.
This week, Dr. Chris Brown fights an albatross.
They were asking for it. For years they've wanted that. I can see on the list, look, a rat. Disappointingly, 28% of Americans think they'd lose in a fist fight with a rat. So look, probably the rat would be an interesting one. You see plenty of Australians taking on the kangaroo in a fist fight and losing as well. So
yeah, especially on golf courses.
Look, more surveys like this, I think, is what we're
all after. Yep.
Dr. Chris Brown's still in the studio because Natasha Belling has all the exits covered and he cannot seriously get out of this studio. She's now made her way into the studio where she's effectively invading his personal... He's tasered her. He has just tasered Natasha Belling.
The taser will never stop me talking. Hey.
On to theory number 46 for the day around Kate Middleton. Go on.
Are you ever bored talking to me?
No. No. Am I ever not scared talking to you? Also no.
We used to work together, so we get on very well.
We do. I once had to medicate Tash Belling for a gut upset in an ad break.
On-air conversation.
Yes, it is.
I should have.
What happened?
She had a gut upset, and I had some ideas around how we could soothe things down there with some medication that was also available in animals, and on reflection, there were probably other medications I should have also considered at the time. Just to
that's right.
Get touched.
You were going to write me a script.
I was going to write
you
a script.
You are a doctor for animals, not for humans. And then you were trying to convince me it was the same medication.
It was a desperate time, Tash.
Yeah, exactly.
Desperate measures.
He often hides pills in your food as well.
Explains
Tash,
everything.
Have a bit of this. rubs your throat as he's you're dropping a pill. Well, you two do hang out a lot. I did see Tash turn up with a bucket on her head one morning, and I went, oh, I can see the two of them.
I
went down and dusted. Listen to this, Chris. This is your first hand of it. We always end the week by saying, Natasha Belling, what is the big news story that need to look out for? And
is King Charles okay?
Well, okay,
King
Taser.
Charles now.
Taser.
Yeah, oh, sorry.
Yep.
That was also covered in our chat before.
Wow.
She's giving him weeks.
She's giving him weeks.
Mick and MG in the morning, brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet. Mick and MG in the morning, weekdays from 6 on Sydney's Triple M.